From the campus of Stanford University, this is Schools In.
They believe that what we're being told is everything they need to know, and they just pay attention to that.
You actually have to teach the teachers how to teach for innovation.
With your hosts, Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.
Welcome to Schools In. I'm Denise Pope, senior lecturer with the Graduate School of Education here at Stanford with my wonderful co-host, Dan Schwartz, dean of the Graduate School of Education.
Dr. Pope.
Dr. Schwartz.
Today we're talking about leadership, and it occurred to me you would be a very good dean.
Oh, no.
Why
do you think? Are you trying to lose your job? You don't like your job?
I'm not allowed to say. And I love my job. Thank you to my bosses.
What? Why are you saying this to me?
Clear thinking. Always trying to learn more. Listen to what people have to say. Try and make the best out of them.
Okay, you're buttering me up for something here.
No. This is rare.
This is legit.
Dan, you know, isn't it your birthday?
What time is it? Really? Wait a minute. I have witnesses here. He's being so nice to me.
So leaders can make a difference. The reason I went into academics to go get a graduate degree and move on is because I swore I would never have a boss as bad as my principal from before.
Oh.
And this guy was such a nightmare that I decided I never want to be in a situation with a bad boss again.
Oh, wow.
And so academics, you can have a bad boss. Like you might have a dean at the Stanford Graduate School of Education who's sort of narcissistic and only thinks about himself. but you're sort of allowed to do what you think is the most important thing. And so I really learned the significance of at least a bad boss, if not a good boss. I don't know.
Right. Okay. So I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I think you're a terrific boss, Dan. And we will talking about Dan from this point on.
Welcome to Schools In, the suck-up show.
Here's what I would say. I tried to think about who my principal was when I was a student. And I couldn't remember my elementary school principal. I couldn't even remember, and this is kind of sad. I feel bad saying this. If my elementary school principal was a male or a female, I have no memory. But I have a really good memory of my middle school and high school principal. It was one school contained.
Me too, but it was the assistant principal responsible for discipline. I have a very good memory of this guy. He had the paddle with the holes in it.
What, are you kidding me?
Because the holes allowed the paddle to go faster when it kissed your bottom.
Were you hit?
No.
Okay.
No.
But you knew that principal well.
Boy, the stories across the school were legion.
Oh, my gosh. So I want to tell a positive principal story really super quickly, which is I can't remember if it was eighth or ninth grade. I came to school and my locker, where my locker used to be, was a big black hole. Somebody had put a pipe bomb in my locker.
What?
I am totally serious. And I was devastated and I didn't know what the deal was. And it turns out that there were two Denises in the school and my friend had written, "Hi, Denise," on my locker. So it was very evident that this locker belonged to someone named Denise. And the other Denise had just broken up with her boyfriend.
Wow.
And he was really pissed.
A pipe bomb.
A pipe bomb in my locker. So I was devastated, right? My notes were gone from a lot of my classes. And let me tell you what my principal, and I still remember this to this day, he put his arm around me. He walked me into his office. He said, "We are going to get you an office, even better than a locker. You're going to have a part of an office to use." And then he took me into the storeroom and the stockroom, and he got me all new supplies because I lost notebooks and spirals and pens. And he said, "Anything you want, it's yours. And don't worry, we're going to take care of this, and we're going to get you a great locker." And he just really made me feel better because it was a terrible situation.
No, that sounds horrible. That is really clutch of the principal.
It was
awesome. Very clutch.
And I got to go into the administration building and be kind of cool and use part of this person's office as my locker until they could figure out where else to put me.
Wow.
So it was really exciting. So we're going to talk about principles today, the good, the bad, the ugly. We're going to talk about leadership. And we are incredibly fortunate to have just a dear friend of mine, Gay Hoagland, with us today. She is a senior lecturer at the Graduate School of Education at Stanford. She heads the Principal Fellows Program, which brings principals from school districts around California to Stanford to learn strategies for success in their leadership. Her actual title is Director of Leadership Programs. And I will just tell you, as an aside, she's one of the most popular instructors here in the Graduate School of Education. Every single student I talk to loves her class. I mean, I know this is a kiss-up show, but this is for real. This is for real. They love Gay. They love her class. I tell all my students, take Professor Hoagland's class.
I love Gay, and I like her classes, too.
Okay, so we're all in agreement. Gay, thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
I love being part of this conversation, partly because you two are just fabulous, and there's my kiss up for the day.
Okay.
Secondly, because this is a fascinating, complicated topic, and I am with Dan. I got into it because every year one of the Hoagland boys had a teacher who shouldn't have been teaching. They might have been a great accountant or a librarian or maybe corporate dude, but they shouldn't have been teaching. And I would go to the principal, and in every school, every time, it was a man who was basically weak, had neither the skills nor the strength to do the job of supporting that teacher. And I wondered, how do these people get these jobs? And so I got into the business, and ever since, everybody has worked on school change on everything except leadership. Now that's changed. And you've got a hot topic of, you know, how do you recruit and prepare and support and evaluate principals? Now we come to Stanford, and we come to a time you asked about the principal fellas.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that has to be the most fun I've had in my whole life, because we were dealing at the time that it began with the No Child Left Behind and the loss of resources from schools. And people who were strong professionals were feeling beleaguered and pressured. And I knew, because I had done this before in another job with another group of wonderful school districts and principals, that if Stanford could create a space where they could come and problem solve with their colleagues, with people who really understood the work and had access to some of the best of Stanford, all you need to do is give them that fuel and that space and that respect, and it will mean a great deal to them. So that's exactly what Stanford did. And what we did was go to superintendents, because someone had to have the backs of these principals. Someone had to support them when they got back. And we also wanted to strengthen the succession pipeline in those districts, and invited them. And every superintendent has always said yes and sent a team. And the principals find that the design is so simple and so powerful that they just never miss coming. And
what's that? What's the design that they
get? The design is simple and powerful in that they come together with 25 other colleagues who are somewhere between the third and maybe seventh year of the principalship. So they know how to survive, and now they can get their teeth into the real issues. And they have half a day of learning from great, great scholars, professors, researchers from the Ed School, from the Business School, sometimes from the D School or the Law School. And then they have half a day to figure out, what does that mean in my school and what's going on in my school, and consulting with each other with protocols so that they talk about something besides moms and lockers and athletics. Those conversations are just incredible.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are speaking today with Gay Hoagland, senior lecturer at the School of Education, talking about what she does with principals. And I know this is going to sound crazy, Gay, but I think a lot of people don't really know what a principal does. What are the things that these principals are doing? What should their role be at the school in your eyes?
I think of the role as sort of three things: critical, crazy, and collaborative.
Okay. Okay, please explain.
Yeah, right.
I'm good at number two.
Yeah, right. You're crazy. Right.
Well, yeah, you'd make a good principal.
It's back to the suck-up show.
That's the second suck-up. It's critical because if you think about the factors that help kids succeed, number one is teachers, number two is the principal. And if you think about the factors that help teachers succeed, number one is the principal. If you don't have strong support, the good teaching will fade and the good teachers will leave. Mm. And that's, you know, we could talk about research, but you kind of knew that in your gut and then it was confirmed by the research. And secondly, the crazy part is that American schools have created an impossible job. The principal is the CEO. He's the chief she is the chief operating officer, the human resources person, the financial expert, the custodian. It's a 24/7 mix of very insistent demands and challenges, many of them conflicting, and the principal needs to sort that out. And so,
on an average night, or an average week, who has more sleepless nights?
Oh,
the principal, the superintendent, a teacher,
or a parent with a new baby.
Yeah. That wins.
Right.
That wins.
Right. I think the high school principal is out every night and weekends.
Hmm.
But they don't have to prepare lessons for five classes and 180 kids the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And the superintendent has the stuff that keeps you awake in terms of political stuff, financial mm-hmm. stuff. I think schools sort of bring out, you know, they draw adrenaline junkies who don't need much sleep, who love mm-hmm. kids.
I think all of them, it's hard for all of them, but to go to your third point, collaboration. So you said critical, which we've explained. You
yeah.
said crazy, which we've explained. Collaborative.
Yeah.
That was your third
well,
point.
Well, and so given this job where you're not just running a school, you're growing a school. It's not just management. It's really vision and leadership and all of that. No one can do this alone. And so, therefore, if you look at the research and you look at what's going on, they're redefining leadership to mean it's not about the principal. It's about the leadership at every level of the school and that people in the school are making decisions where they have the expertise to make them. And that starts with the teacher leaders because they're the ones bringing in the expertise on curriculum, on pedagogy, on classroom management, can mentor new teachers. So if you think of it that way, what you should expect when you are a parent or a community member and you're trying to figure out, do we have good leadership,
mm-hmm.
Comes out of that collaborative power as well as the skill and good sense and endurance of the principal.
So as you look at training principals and working with principals. I don't even like that word training, right? Helping them.
I don't either.
Right.
I really don't.
Yeah.
Can you say preparing?
Preparing. I will say preparing. When
you know, another thing
them.
I don't like is buy-in. They buy-in, it's all I like ownership.
Okay. So I'm glad you're telling us what you like.
Note
to
self.
Yes.
Training gone, buy-in gone.
Buy-in gone.
Right.
So preparing and ownership, if you look at sort of what these top concerns are of your cohorts of principals over time, what yeah. bubbles to the top?
Oh, easily. How do you – well, no, there are really two. First of all, these principals in the Fellows program have fight to keep a laser-like focus on the kids. And they want to be part of a school where everybody's learning. That means the teachers, curious, engaged teachers have curious, engaged classrooms and kids come out as confident learners. And they want it to be, they believe that relationships are the key to this and the culture has got to be safe and caring and high, all the stuff we know. So every time they generate their priorities, it comes out with the need to be able to connect to teachers in a way and to create the structures and the support in a way that teachers can grow, that mindsets can change, that they can believe that every kid can learn, that they're willing to try new stuff.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are speaking with Gay Hoagland about how she works with principals and how she grows leaders.
Students focus on what they were told, not paying attention to the situation.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.
So they're not going to see anything new because they're so busy trying to copy what you told them.
From the campus of Stanford University.
Welcome back to School's In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are talking today with Gay Hoagland, who is the Director of Leadership Programs here at the Graduate School of Education. And we're talking about growing principals, how Gay helps principals think about what they do, reflect on what they do. And it sounds like a pretty hard job from what I'm thinking about. And, you know, a typical parent sees a principal maybe at the front of the school waving hello in the morning, or thinks of the principal as the place to go to complain. They often bypass the teacher and say, I'm going to take this right to the top and I'm going to email the principal. And I think that it's got to be a pretty tough job to have that many people you have to please, kids, parents, and teachers. What's your advice for how all of those community members can best support their principal?
Great question. And of course, each one of those people thinks that you exist for them.
Yes.
That it's their kid that matters. I want to go back to your comment about this sounds hard, and just take us to a moment in the principal's fellows room that captures that is why a program like this is so important, and then what enables them to deal with this. We were in the middle of a terrific conversation, and suddenly a principal who had been a football coach, who was a terrific person, just put his head in his hands and said, is there anybody else here who feels like you just can't go on? Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else here who feels like there's no way I can win and I ought to just quit? And this is with tears in the eyes. This is with nods all around the room. And then they began to think about why they stayed and why they did it and what kept them there, given exactly what you described, as everybody has an agenda and much of it is not focused on kids and much of it is impossible, but people still want it. And it was an exhilarating conversation by the end, okay? But to create a space where and the level of trust and colleagueship where that can happen, Stanford is really creating something very unique here, which is another topic. But
yeah, so let me jump on that topic. So ours is very high touch. We bring principals in. We spend a lot of time with them. If I'm a titan of industry, and I think we could do this online. You know, we could make courses for principals online. Is that going to work?
Absolutely.
Really?
Because if you get it right. And I think the effort to get it right is as important as any of the content you put in it. I think this generation is fluent and comfortable online, and you can do powerful teaching online, but it won't create the space where the moment I just described could happen. And until you have people beginning to really sort out who they are and why, you're not going to have great leadership. You'll have technically skilled leadership. I think the online stuff gets you to the management piece, the running the school piece. But growing the garden, I mean, if you think of a school as kids aren't widgets, they're people, and it's all very relational and unexpected in a way, it's also highly technical, skilled management. It's both. Okay, so I think online would be great, and if Stanford could do that, it would probably do it better than anybody else, and we should do that.
This is School's In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are speaking with Gay Hoagland about growing school principals, excellent school principals, and how hard the job is. So let's go back to that question of you've got parents, you've got teachers, you've got principals all eager to hear how best to support the person in that front office.
Okay, now we come back to the definition that we really, it's too big. What is leadership? But leadership is setting people up to succeed. It's also being the person who carries the mission and the vision of the school. And if you can have the kind of integrity and skill and warmth that brings a school community together with an idea of what this school could be that they share, then when stuff comes at you, it's not about you. It's about how does this fit with the mission of our school? And when you have a parent who only cares about their kid, and there are some parents who only care about their kid, then you have a chance to explain that this school is about all the kids, and that makes it a better school and a better school for this community, and you can work from the basic principle. If you've got a teacher who wants special treatment, you can talk about what it means to be a colleague in a school where everyone is responsible for the kids, not just her kids in her empire up on the third floor. If you've got departments who are at each other's throats and have been ever since the last strike, you now have a chance to have them have a vision of what it means to be a professional in a school, a high-performance school, high-colleagueship school, that would enable them to be stronger teachers. So, in other words, this all sounds pretty idealistic, but at least you are working from...
God, you should have been my leadership coach. It's just so clear. As you're saying this, I'm like, yes, I will do it for the team. You're really good at this.
Well, the point is that doing it for the team makes you better. I mean, everyone in that school is looking for ownership and payoff for them, including the parents. But we absolutely know, because they're there, that there are schools where the children learn and diversity is celebrated and teachers are growing and parents may or may not like what's happening, but they trust the school.
So I'm a parent. I come in. I'm unhappy about how my child has been treated. As a parent, when I come in, I shouldn't just be in the position to advocate. I should also listen to what the principal is saying.
Well,
to see, now I understand.
So Denise's question was, what can we do to support and encourage good leadership in a school? And I would say, bingo, Dan Schwartz, the first thing is to listen. Suck up is to listen. Yeah. But you have to trust that principal to do that. You can't just go in with nothing but blind anger.
Yeah.
So you also, as a principal, have to know how to handle a lot of anger. You have to be a grown-up. You have to be able to make tough decisions. You have to be capable of the kind of feedback that is an invitation to grow and not trapping people and judging them. And so that interaction is something we role play in the Fellows program, the way we role play tough supervision and you have to find words, and it's hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we need more time for this conversation.
Yeah. No, I think we keep coming back to it's hard, but I think as a parent, I think that they skipped a really important thing if they go right to the principal, which is they're not trusting the teacher. And I think what I used to see in a lot of schools is that the teacher wasn't trusted, and so we're going to go above the teacher's head to make a change that we want to see happen. And I think, and you've said this, a lot of good principals will send you right back to the teacher.
Totally.
And say, hey.
Have to.
Yeah,
they have to.
Right? So I think it goes back to that idea of collaboration, that we're all in this together, that this one person doesn't have all the power, but really does need to hold everything in his or her hands, hold them lightly and guide them. But you have to trust the teacher to be able to do exactly what you just said the principal should do. Deal with angry parents, listen. The parents need to listen and have that trust. And any way that the school leader can do that, I think would be hugely important.
I think that's what it means to be a professional. I think that's what it means to really care about kids. And I guess the last thing I'd say to support your school, although we all focus on the moments when our kids were getting hurt and what can you do, is to realize this is a very exciting time in education. And you ought to expect that school to be capable of an entrepreneurial, innovative sense of possibility about working with the technology coming in that makes things possible that never were, about the knowledge that we've gained, both not just curricular knowledge, but the brain science knowledge that changes the way you think about teaching and what you can do, about the option, the possibility that schools have to confront the rising inequality in our society. The path to every kid's future leads through that school, your school. And to be able to be part of confronting and working with that, I mean, there are ways in which the principalship, the teacher leaders, and you as the parent are part of a very innovative moment, and you ought to expect that. and support that and call for that. And that now we can talk about the superintendent, because which we can't. But leadership is really setting up other people to succeed, and it's a craft and an art. And
I can say this, you do it really well, Gay. So thank you for doing what you do. I'm excited that everybody left that moment of being where they felt it was really hard to go on, that they decided it's worth it to go on. And I think you inspired a lot of people today. So thank you.
I took lots of notes that I'm going to use in the faculty meeting.
That's great, Dan. Yes. Thank you for listening to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We're on the campus of Stanford University and on SiriusXM Insight 121.
Of Stanford University, this has been Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.